Okay, so I'm talking to Tracy Weber, who's another BMW owner that sent me a email about BMW. Tracy, it's okay to record this?
Sure.
Great. Okay. Well, let's kind of go over your letter. You gave me a nice letter, which kind of is very good because it really separated out the thing into time segments, so we can see how long the problem's been going on.
Right.
And let's talk about kind of where your current status is, what you'd like to have done, and then we'll maybe spend a little time into, you know, what went wrong, you think, and how it's affected your perception of BMW.
Okay, at this point in time, I spoke to Tom Lawrence. He is, from what I can understand, like a service rep. I live in Dalton, Georgia, by the way.
Okay.
Tom Lawrence is supposedly the, I guess, service rep over this area.
He's the regional rep for the southeast.
Okay, all right, so you guys have heard of him.
Yeah, I know who he is.
Okay, and he came down and actually rode my bike and, you know, and said he didn't find no problems. And I was having a bad time with a particular dealer that I purchased my bike from, BMWs of Atlanta.
Okay.
And I told Tom, I said, I'm tired of dealing with this dealer. So he moved me over to a new dealer called Blue Moon Cycles.
Yeah, I've been to Blue Moon shop, actually.
And I have to say, a great bunch of people. I mean, they have helped me from beginning to start.
Yeah, they've got a real focus on the biker community and everything from very old vintage to the most modern stuff. So.
Right. And one thing I really liked about BMW Cycles, and I don't know this gentleman's name, Greg is all I know him by, I reckon their head service tech.
Uh-huh.
He told me BMW has a problem with this bike. I mean, I don't know that he would want BMW to know that, but he told me, and he told Tom Lawrence what the bike was doing. He told him that between the RPMs of 3,000 and 4,000, the bike still does surge and hesitate, you know, and And another service tech that first started with was Joe Krebs, and he was formerly with BMWs of Atlanta.
Okay.
Joe had been working on BMWs for 32 years, and Joe was working with a Triumph dealer now. I spoke to him, I think it was this previous Thursday, and Joe also told me, you know, he's away from BMW now, but he told me, he said, BMWs have a problem with their singles and twins. So, I mean, I've got two very reputable BMW mechanics that's, you know, pretty much validating my problem.
Sure.
But BMW still won't step up the plate and say, you know, we have a problem. They just tell me that I'm not riding it correctly.
Okay. Which is frustrating to you, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah. I'll give you a little background on me. I'm a first-time BMW buyer.
Okay.
I come off Japanese bikes. I've had probably 15 years experience, you know, riding bikes. They've all been, you know, inline fours, which, you know, I wanted to go to BMW because I was always told that's the Mercedes of motorcycles. That's the best bike you'll buy. And I thought, well, you know, the Japanese bikes, they don't really have any personality to them. They're good, fast, and reliable. But I wanted something with a little personality to it, and I guess I got something with personality. I mean, it wasn't really what I had in mind, though.
True.
But I hadn't had a very good experience with BMWs. I mean, I'm a first-time buyer, and I was told everything from that this is pretty common with BMWs. And I told them, I said, if you would have told me this from the start, I would have turned and walked out of your store. You know, I've got everything told to me from I don't know how to ride a bike, that this is standard, this is the way BMWs operate, to there's nothing wrong with your bike. So, I mean, at this point, I don't know what to do.
Okay. And so far, it looks like it's been a period of many months that you've been going through this. So it's the agony of time, right?
Right. I live approximately, the closest dealer that I have is Atlanta, and I live in North Georgia, right at the Tennessee line. So it's a 200-mile round trip. And if you'll notice there in the red, beside a lot of those, I have mileage.
No, exactly. Well, that's time and expense, really.
Right. You know, and, so, I mean, really, I've probably accumulated 800, I hadn't counted up recently, probably 800 to 1,000 miles.
And it would be nicer if you could get the local reliable service out of BMW Atlanta,
yeah.
But that doesn't seem to be the case.
And I'll touch upon another thing that really disappointed me, too, because the sales pitch when I bought this bike was they have a great roadside assistance. And I thought, man, that's great. You know, that was one of the selling points. I thought, BMW is really trying to take care of people.
Yes.
Well, I called upon that great BMW roadside assistance. I was informed it handles the first $100. Well, considering I live 100 miles away, to come get my bike and take it back to, you know, come get my bike, take it to Atlanta and bring it back to me, was going to be about $400 or $500 out of my pocket, because they have hookup fees, then, you know, they have so many dollars per mile. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, I think that they outsource that program to, I think, cross country.
Right, exactly.
And for most people, I think people in the BMW community have joined the BMW Motorcycles Owners Association, which I think uses a different program.
Okay, yeah.
Covering more.
I guess it's the fine print, you know. I guess we all know we should read the fine print, but I mean, I was really disappointed when, you know, the sales pitch was, you know, you got a 3-year unlimited mileage warranty with roadside assistance. And I thought, man, that's great. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, I mean, I would think it would be the same with anything.
Right.
I mean, if you buy a BMW or Mercedes car, I'm sure there's some limitation. I know that, for example, as a member of AAA, I own AAA Plus, which gives me 500 miles of towing for my car. Where the normal AAA gives you 50 miles.
Yeah. That's probably my own fault. But
well, it's a question of knowledge of the limits of the program and expectation.
Yeah.
Maybe that should be more clearly detailed so that you don't run into those problems.
Right. You know, and I was fortunate enough that I could, arrange transportation for it. And another thing, too, is the gentleman the other day, when I picked my bike up, he said, "What's wrong with your grills?" He said, "They're tore out of pieces." I said, "That's from being hauled. I've hauled this bike to Atlanta." Well, you can see pretty much in the documentation there, I've hauled my bike so much that the grips are about torn off of it. And, it's just, I've not had a very good experience. And, you know, I guess the biggest problem I have is, I guess I was a little naive when I went to buy the bike. I rode a demo bike, you know yourself. They don't like to a lot of times. If you want a 650, you go in before they, oil everything up. You know, usually you'll jump on a demo bike, and if you're interested, then they put you on, they'll fix your bike up, oil it up and everything.
Well, of course. I mean, most people want to take delivery of their new motorcycle with no scratches, no miles.
Exactly.
It's a pretty common thing.
The demo bike that I rode ran flawless.
Uh-huh.
Well, I had no reason to, expect one to surge, and if you'll notice right there, the very very second entry to my notes are on 6/23. I made a call the very next morning at 9:30 after I took purchase of my bike and told him. I didn't even, I went back and revised this because I didn't know what a surge and a stall was. I called Mark Martin, he's a sales manager, at 9:30 the next morning. I said, "Mark, this motorcycle was cutting out very bad." I said, "It won't hardly run." He said, "Oh, that's, typical BMWs. They run better the more mileage you put on them."
Okay.
And so I said, "Okay, well, I guess I can buy that." And then from that time until my 600-mile service, I started, that's when I found the chain gang. And started doing some reading, and come to find out I'm having the same problems that everybody else is having. Or I ain't going to say everybody, but a lot of people with a fuel-injected box, And so I went back and revised, I was calling it cutting out, and, then I learned what a surge and a stall was. So, the main thing I filed with a BMW complaint was I feel it's a safety issue. When I'm rolling across a four, let's see, I think it's the exact date, but,
Well, an intersection.
Yeah, the intersection. Like on 9/7, I documented on September the 7th, I was stopped at an intersection. I started across the intersection. The bike, I was in first gear, probably running about 4,000, I usually ship about 4,000, 4,500 RPMs. The bike completely dies on me with the throttle position and staying the same. Then all of a sudden it picks back up. It almost throws me off the bike.
Yeah, so that would be a surge, a very major surge.
I guess, the engine, it pretty much died, and by the engine, being turned, the wheel turning the engine, it picked back up. But
sure.
I'd never had one quite that bad before. But it was a real safety concern with me, and, point in time, I'm fixing to file suit against BMW.
Okay, which is not a good thing for you, nor really for BMW.
No, and I spoke with Tom Larson. I told Tom, I said, "I don't want to do this. I don't like attorneys. I don't, but you leave me no choice." I told Tom, I said, all I wanted you guys to do was to fix my bike. Now I don't even want my bike. You know, I'm to the point where I hate looking at my bike. I've had so much, you know, I've had so much problems with it. And, you know, and then Tom Lawrence, he tells me nothing's wrong with it. And so, you know, at this point in time, and matter of fact, Tom Lawrence told me to file a lemon law.
Okay.
He told me to call, and he said, you don't need an attorney. He said, you just need to file a lemon law. I said, so you're telling me to file, you know, file a lemon law, but you're not willing to help me. So, you know, I'm getting real mixed signals on that. I don't know if he's trying to tell me something, you know, that he shouldn't be telling me or what, but he seems to think that if I file a lemon law complaint, Georgia has, you know, their lemon laws on a motorcycle is real sketchy. They don't. They say that it don't cover a motorcycle, but then again, it has a place on the form to file one.
I'm sure you have some form of consumer protection that a lot of people who have contacted me.
I think the Magnuson-Moss law, it's a federal law that pretty much supersedes all your state laws. So, now, I have spoke with an attorney, and I'm getting all my paperwork together and, you know, my documentation and repair orders and things like that. And, you know, I don't know if I have a case or not, you know. I mean, I would think I do.
I would say from the number of people that have contacted me that many people have unfortunately gone that route because BMW has not been responsive to them.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, in the very least, in terms of communication, timely responses,
mm-hmm.
which leads consumers into, you know, kind of this gray area, like what's going on with my problem, you know, I don't know what's going on. So they tend to take that up as their course of last resort.
Right.
Out of anger, more often than not.
Well, another thing, too, I'll back up a moment. The only way that I could even get the dealer to get, that's one reason I left BMW's at Atlanta. The only way that I could get my problem brought to, you know, discussion was, fortunately, my bike is financed with BMW, you know, finance.
Yes.
I had to call them and tell them I wasn't paying another penny until they could get somebody to call me.
And then BMW Finance got Tom Lawrence involved?
They got Tom Lawrence involved. And the aggravation, you know, I was told, you know, and that's documented in my letter, I was told to meet Tom Lawrence on a certain day, I think it was like a Tuesday. And all this stuff, I'm having to take personal time off from work to go and tow my bike down because I don't feel it's safe enough to drive it down.
That's right.
So I go down there and spend the whole day in Atlanta and he doesn't show up. So, I mean, I've had nothing but problems from day one, you know. The dealer, you know, the first time I go to get a problem fixed, they don't have the parts. They don't have an O2 sensor. So I have to take it back down, you know, and get that replaced. Then
have they told you that you needed that replaced?
Oh, well, the very first service that I had, my 600-mile service, I go in and they say that your O2 sensor is bad. And they said, we're going to have to replace this. We don't have one in stock. So, you know, there again, I take it back home with me 200 miles and then bring it back to Atlanta on the 28th. And, you know, they replace the sensor, bike still surges. And, you know, then they call me back down, so they're going to upgrade the software and injector. So I'll get down there then. I call a week ahead to make sure they have the parts. They say, oh, yeah, we have the parts and all this. So I get down there and they don't have the parts. And they said, you're going to have to take it back. We're going to have to order these parts. I said, no, you don't understand. This bike's not leaving on me again until you get it fixed. So they pull an injector off of a 1150 GS. And they said it's the same thing. So they pull that off, put it on there. And, you know, the bike, I rode it immediately. I said, I'm tired of taking this bike back home.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then getting home and find out. So I rode it down there, and it worked pretty good. You know, even the mechanic, he said it's a lot better, but he said it still has the problem. So,
yeah, I don't know if the 1150 GS injector is the injector actually that BMW runs in that bike or recommends as a replacement. I think that the injector that they've moved to from the early injector mm-hmm. is off of the 1200 C bike.
Yeah, something about the cross reference the numbers on that.
Uh-huh.
And they said it was the same one that they would be ordering. So, but there again, you know, I was pretty irate at that time. So, you know, they.
Well, you sound pretty calm to me now.
Oh yeah.
and you've detailed your issues here. So really, I guess the end game is that, you know, you've spent a period here since the 22nd of June, and here we are on the 16th or the 15th of October,
mm-hmm.
and you still don't have a motorcycle in operating condition to your satisfaction.
No, I don't feel like I do.
This is you owned motorcycles before. Just this was your first BMW.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a competent rider. I've never had any problems with Japanese bikes.
And you've been in the shop more than enough on this, not to mention the problems with losing your local dealer in a certain way, or them failing you to the point where you now have to take the bike several hundred miles, actually.
Well, both of them were in Atlanta, so it's just 20 miles difference.
Okay, so Blue Moon's not that far out of the way.
No, it's just 20 miles further, which I gladly take it to BMW, Blue Moon.
Okay, so I wasn't aware if that was a long... It sounded like a much longer trip.
No, it's really about 20 miles further than, BMW's Atlanta.
Okay, have you heard back from BMW at all at this point, or
they're through with me.
They're through with you.
Tom Lawrence, the last time he called me back on 10-8, he said that BMW North America feels its motorcycle's in good running and working condition, and there are no safety issues. And he said at this point they feel there's nothing else they're responsible for. And I said, okay, so I guess I need to, I guess I need to get an attorney and move forward with this. And he said, oh, you don't need an attorney. He said, all you need to do is file a lemon law complaint.
Okay.
So I didn't understand him telling me that, Here's the BMW. To me, he is BMW. He's the closest thing representative that they have. He's telling me not to get an attorney. He's telling me to file a lemon law complaint, which... Another thing I was wanting to back up too, BMW is Atlanta, where I purchased the bike, they sent me a $200 check because they feel like, under the memo of the check, it says customer satisfaction. And so I'm taking that as, they see that I have that I've been run through the ringer too. So, they sent me a $200 check, which, like I said, I'm keeping all this stuff. I'm going to... I think it just gives my case a little bit more, makes it more valid because, my other, question I'd like to ask BMW, if there's nothing wrong with this motorcycle, why do you guys keep working on it? I've been through counting the factory software that was on it when I purchased the bike. I'm on my third version of software, second injectors in it. And I'm still no closer to having it finished than when I started. So, if there's nothing wrong with this bike, they sure keep working on it.
But if the bike runs fine, you'll keep it.
At this point, no. No, I will not keep it.
But if it could have been addressed earlier the problem?
If they could have just stepped up to the plate and said, yeah, we've got some problems, we're working on those issues, we're going to get it straightened out, I would have said, okay, I'll bear with you a little while.
So just a little more open and honest communication style, you think?
Yeah, don't insult people. Like I said, I've got 15 years experience on a bike. Don't step up and tell someone they don't know how to ride a bike. That's insulting to me. This bike to me is my transportation. I was told too, I asked the dealer, I said, could you possibly give me a loaner bike? Something I can ride. And he said, oh no, he said, we don't give loaner bikes. He said, bikes are not like cars, you can't expect a loaner bike.
Yeah, certain dealers do that depending on their size.
Yeah, and he explained it to me, and I understood, but I said, you need to understand one thing too. This is my transportation. I didn't buy this bike to ride on the weekends. I bought this bike to ride every day to work. And you can see I put 2,800 miles on it in 3 months. I ride it. I don't buy it to let it sit in the garage.
Yep.
So, they just don't understand. I reckon they think that someone makes a $8,000 purchase, just for, as a little toy, on the side. But, I guess, and a lot of this is, it's been my own fault because I guess I trusted a company like BMW. That's all I'd ever heard all my life. You want the best bike made, you buy a BMW.
So you mentioned the word trust. You feel any sense that trust has been broken in between you and BMW? Any trust that might have been there?
Oh yeah, I feel like that. I was misled from the start. I feel like they misled me by putting me on a demo bike that run fine. I feel like they misled me the next day by telling me that this problem would get better because of BMWs run better with more miles on them. I feel like I've been misled because they say my bike is safe. Tom Lawrence flies in from Texas and does a 15-minute ride on my bike, and he says, he claims to know everything about it. I ride it every day. It didn't replicate the problem with him. So he says there's no problem.
That was a pretty expensive 15-minute test ride, huh?
Exactly. You know, that's you know, and I told him from the start, I said, you may get on this bike and it may run fine for today. Tomorrow, it may surge badly. I mean, you know, I just didn't like the way it was handled. You know, don't jump on my bike in 15 minutes and come back and say, well, you're imagining things, you know, because it didn't do it at all. But I have never been so disappointed in a company in my life. I mean, BMW, I'll say, I thought that was the best bike made. And I still believe BMW makes a great bike. I think I got a lemon and they won't step up to the plate and say I did.
Okay.
Because I see so many people that are so happy with their bikes. And I know it's got to be just my bike. And that's one thing from a business standpoint. I don't see how they can run their business. You know, 99.5% of their customers are probably happy. I don't see why it would have hurt to make the other 0.5% happy.
Uh-huh.
And that's all it would have took for me.
Now, you mentioned the chain gang. You found them on the internet?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Can you just talk to me a little bit about that? Do you view them as a resource? How do you view the information being posted?
I think it's a great resource. I mean, I didn't know what a surge and a stall was until I found this site. And then, you know, basically, people with, 2001 650s are, you know, I ain't going to say all because, you know, I'll say, I mean, I don't even have a clue what percentage, you know, I don't know how many users actually monitor the site, but the people that do complain on there are, you know, it's exactly what the problem I have. So, I mean, it really makes me feel better that, no, I'm not just imagining these things, you know, because other people are having the same issues that I am. But the chain gang, to me, is a great resource, and I think BMW North America, they may monitor this site, but they really need to. I mean, these are people that, to me, have unbiased opinions.
Yeah, I actually don't think BMW monitors the site, nor thinks very highly of it, but that's another topic.
Uh-huh.
That's another topic. Well, listen, for right now, I'm going to turn off the recorder because
okay.
you've used up, I think, some good time here in relating some of your BMW
okay.
experiences. Hold on one second.